Well, today we are continuing our Christmas series that we kicked off last week that I simply titled Lessons from the Christmas Story. Now, it's a series that's taken a look at some of the scriptures leading up through the birth of Jesus and looking at what we can learn from some of the people who were part of this amazing Christmas story. And so last week we took some time to look at the innkeeper. And though we don't know who it was that kept this inn, we don't know if it was a male or a female, if it was family owned. All we know is that they had no room for Mary and Joseph and the soon to be born baby Jesus in the inn. And so we looked at the fact that oftentimes we are like the innkeeper when we don't make room for Jesus in our lives. And so if you missed that message, I would just encourage you to go. You can listen to it online. You can watch it online at some point this Christmas season, because I think we all need to make sure that we are making room for Jesus, especially this Christmas season. Now, today, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 1, as we're going to take a look at some stories actually leading up to Jesus's or to the miraculous conception of Jesus, right? And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're gonna read Luke 1, verses 26 through 45. Now, in the verses leading up to verse 26, Zechariah and Elizabeth are told by an angel that they're going to have sons, right? They're each going to have a son. Not Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth is going to have a son. And this son, that would be a pretty big miracle, wouldn't it, right? I mean, we're seeing miracles, but that'd be a really big miracle. Not that God couldn't do that, but this son is the one that would pave the way for Jesus, right? Now, we know that this is John the Baptist. That's the child that they're going to have. And so I want you to keep this in mind as we read here, beginning in verse 26, where the angel appears to Mary. And so Luke 1, beginning in verse 26, says this: "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.'" We're going to stop there this morning. Now, our story begins here with two women becoming pregnant, who really shouldn't be pregnant. Elizabeth, she was old and barren. She thought that there was no chance that she would ever bear a child. And then Mary was a virgin, and if you know what that means, you know it's literally impossible in our world for her to be pregnant, right? So both of these pregnancies here were miracles. They were the work of God Himself. They were supernatural. And these miracles, they brought joy to both Mary and Elizabeth. Earlier we lit the Advent candle that represents joy. And so today, I want to look at this idea of joy. And really what we can learn here from Mary and Elizabeth when it comes to joy. Now, in these scriptures, Mary travels to see Elizabeth once she learns that both of them are pregnant, right? When the angel told them that both of them were pregnant. And my guess is that the reason she went to Elizabeth is because she believed that Elizabeth could relate to what she was going through, right? And I'm guessing Mary probably needed a friend at this time in her life, because as amazing as this pregnancy was, it was probably pretty scary too, right? It was probably a pretty scary thing. I wonder if this might be why Gabriel told her about her cousin Elizabeth, because he knew that she would need some moral support moving forward. Someone who would actually believe her, right? Because think about it. How many of us would have believed Mary's story? Think about it. If your friend or your sister or your daughter or anyone, right, came to you and told you that, hey, you know, I'm still a virgin, but I'm pregnant, right? Oh, and by the way, it's with the Son of God, right? How many of us would have believed that story? I'm sure many of us would have responded with, okay, yeah, sure, God made you pregnant, right? I'm guessing it probably would have been a little unbelievable if we hadn't been visited by angels, right, to tell us the truth, right? And so I think that Mary knew Elizabeth was someone who was safe, because she knew that Elizabeth was barren, and now Elizabeth is pregnant. So here's a miracle, and so maybe she would be someone that was safe to talk to, someone that she could trust. And when she arrives at Elizabeth's house, something amazing happens. In verse 44, Elizabeth says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy," right? This child in Elizabeth's stomach, little John the Baptist, leaped for joy and filled Elizabeth herself with the joy of the Lord. She realized that this child inside of Mary was no ordinary child. It was the Lord, the Messiah. And so Elizabeth is humbled and overjoyed that Mary, the mother of her Lord, would come and visit her in this time. And maybe we too should feel humbled and joyful that the Lord would come to earth to visit us. That He would give up the glories of heaven and come to a broken, fallen earth to demonstrate His love for all of us. And it all began with these two women who found themselves really in impossible circumstances. One barren and past childbearing years, who would soon give birth to a child that would be known as one of the last of the old day prophets, John the Baptist, who would pave the way for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. And then the other, a virgin at the beginning of her childbearing years, who God made pregnant miraculously without the help of man. And this child, Jesus, would be the foundation of a new covenant, the Messiah that God had promised long, long ago. Now, the truth is, all children are a gift, right? We need to understand that in this world. All children are a gift. And there's nothing more amazing than experiencing the birth of a child. Many people would say that the birth of a child is a miracle, but how much greater of a miracle were these births, these unexpected births? But both of these pregnancies were considered impossible. Impossible, right? So both of them were miraculous. And they were part of God's plan for salvation. God was making it very clear that salvation is not the result of people's efforts, but of God's hand reaching miraculously and mysteriously into our world. The baby Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy when Mary greeted her. Something wondrous was at work. Miracles were happening. God had broken the silence, and through it all, He was creating this amazing joy. And so through this story of Mary and Elizabeth, I believe that there are some lessons that we can learn about joy. And so that is what I want to share with you this morning. And so the first thing that I think we can learn from this story about joy is this. Number one, joy is a gift from God. According to the Scripture, joy is the fruit of the Spirit, something that God brings about in the lives of those who seek Him, who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says there, Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, experienced joy. And Mary, if we were to keep reading into the later verses, in verse 47, also rejoiced at what God was doing when she said, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You see, rejoicing is simply our joy directed towards God in worship. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells Nicodemus that a person must be born again, that they must be born of both water and of spirit. These images of birth surround the message of salvation. The birth of John, the birth of Jesus, and the birth of a new life that we experience when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. And all of these births bring us this joy through the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us. A joy that can only come from God Himself. You see, John the Baptist, he paved the way for the Lord. And then Jesus brought the hope of salvation to the world, to all mankind. And the good news is cause for joy to anyone who will accept it. It's a gift that's given to us, given to all people. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we walking through this Christmas season with the joy of the Lord in our lives? These miracles that Elizabeth and Mary experienced, they were gifts from God. The miracle of joy and new life in Christ, they are a gift from the Lord to us. And the question we have to ask ourselves is are we grabbing hold of that gift that He has for us? Because what good is a gift if someone gives you a gift and you just put it in the closet and never open it, right? We have to open it. God wants us to understand that joy is a gift from Him, and He wants us to open that joy that He has for us. Amen? And then the second lesson that I think we can learn from this story about joy may not be as exciting of a lesson, and that's the fact that joy is often surrounded by challenges. Woohoo! Isn't that exciting? Right? Just what we want to hear. But the thing is, I think for us to truly understand joy, we have to understand the struggles, right? I think this is definitely the case here for Mary. Why else would she need to go and get moral support from Elizabeth? Yes, I'm sure there was probably this excitement and joy to know that she was chosen by God to be used by Him. But what about the fears and the challenges that came with it? What about the social challenges that she was now going to have to face as a pregnant woman who isn't married in these times, right? Because being pregnant before marriage in this day and age was not cause for celebration in the Jewish culture. As a matter of fact, it could have gotten her killed. For a woman her age to become pregnant outside of marriage, that could have ultimately meant death according to the old laws. And if that wasn't enough of a struggle, thinking about that, worrying about that, then think about the fears and stresses of having to raise the Son of God, right? We have enough stresses just thinking about raising a kid. But to raise the Son of God, you can imagine all the thoughts going through Mary's head, right? You know, what if I do something wrong, right? I've never been a parent before. What if I mess Jesus up, right? What if he ends up needing counseling or something? Can you imagine the Son of God needing counseling? Now, I may be exaggerating a little bit here, but we can't deny that this joy, this gift that was given to Mary, came with some great challenges, right? But here's the thing. Obedience is one of the ways that we experience joy in the midst of the challenges. For us to know joy, we have to be able, I think, to walk in obedience. Mary chose to walk in obedience and to fulfill the Word of God despite the challenges that it brought. We have to be willing to walk in obedience. We have to be willing to sacrifice like Mary did here in this situation. We think about the fact, oh, wouldn't it be awesome to have the Son of God as your son, but we don't always think about the sacrifice that's involved. We have to be willing to sacrifice like Mary did, to submit ourselves to the will of God, even if it doesn't play out the way we think it should. Because sometimes God calls us to do things that we actually never thought could bring joy to our lives. Senior pastoring is a great example of this, all right? I know I've shared some of this before in parts of this, but it's a great example of what I'm talking about this morning, because I never thought that I could actually enjoy senior pastoring, right? I always said, hey, God, I'll do it if you call me to it, right? But I honestly never thought God would call me to senior pastor. I just thought I was going to be a youth pastor for life. I never thought he would call me. And I definitely didn't think that if he did, it would be something I actually enjoyed, right? I always said, adults are so boring. Really, God? I would never want to do that. I never thought it would be something that could bring me joy. I imagine it would be one of those grueling sacrifices, right? That okay, God, I'm going to do this for you, right? That I wish I didn't have to do. But I can honestly say now, right, that I wouldn't change it for the world. We're coming up on 10 years, which is crazy. I wouldn't change it for the world. And here's the thing. It's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, right? And I was a Marine, okay? It's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. And I know I've talked about this before. It definitely comes with its challenges. I joke around with a lot of people sometimes. Like, I think some people have no idea the challenges that you deal with as a pastor. And again, it's part of the job. It's what you do. And so I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, I think you don't even realize. When I came into it, I didn't even realize some of the things that I would have to deal with or experience. And so there are some great challenges. And one of those challenges actually was just the reality of planting a church, of being a church plant. It's one thing to step in and take over a congregation. It's a whole other thing to actually plant a church, right? And before we planted the church, we were given some statistics about church plants. And I don't know why they give you these statistics other than maybe to scare you from ever wanting to be a church plant, right? But they gave you different statistics. And one of those statistics was that 50 to 75% of the people that you plant with will be gone in the first year to year and a half of your ministry, right? And of course I thought, 50 to 75%, no way, come on, that's ridiculous, those numbers, that would never happen. Really? You know, 50 to 75%? But guess what? At the year and a half mark, I actually went back and I looked at the core team that we started with, that we launched here with the first Sunday. I went back and I looked at all the names that were on our team. And at the year and a half mark, I went back and looked. And we had lost right around 75%. Some of them moved, were moving away, different things. Some of them just left. Some of them were like, Darren doesn't know what he's doing. I'm out of here. I mean, all sorts of reasons and things and stuff. But 75%. And I was like, whoa. The statistics were right. And you know, one of the things, Stacy and I went through some pretty difficult challenges right at that one-year mark. Challenges that at times made us wish that we could just pack up and go back to youth ministry. It was so much easier doing youth ministry. But let me say this, thankfully we didn't, right? We didn't pack up. And that's because we knew that God had called us here. And we had to be obedient to that calling. And so we persevered through those times. And I can say, thankfully, we came out on the other side. And the amazing thing is one night, after finally feeling like we kind of had got through some of the most difficult stuff, a little after the year and a half, two-year mark, as things were kind of coming back together after a lot of loss and struggles and stuff, feeling like that difficult time was behind us, at least for then anyways, right? Because there's always the challenges that come. But we thought, it felt like, okay, we're kind of good now, we're settling in, and my wife and I were lying in bed, and she asked me a question. She said, hey, Darren, if God said to you, hey, you have faithfully done what I asked you to do. You've planted a church, you've stepped into to senior pastoring, you've persevered through the difficulties, you've stayed strong, you've been obedient. So now if you want to go back to youth ministry, you can. What would you say, Darren? And I think my answer surprised her, because my answer was, no, I wouldn't. Even though those past 6 months had probably been some of the toughest days of my life, I was experiencing joy in knowing what God was doing in the lives of those who were still here or those that had come. There were some amazing stories happening at that time in lives of some of the people that are actually still here in this room today. God was pulling people out of darkness. God was restoring people and healing people, as we are a church that says, come as you are, that is going to love you for who you are, not for what you do, not for how you look, not for the great past you've had, but we love you regardless. And people's lives were being changed, and God was using an uneducated, crazy old youth pastor to make a difference in Dallas, Oregon. And despite the challenges and difficulties that we had been through, his joy was my strength. I was beginning to understand those words. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Experiencing joy in the midst of the circumstances. Not because things are going good, but because God is at work in us. Because we're walking in obedience and doing the things that he's called us to do. And I was experiencing that joy in a way that I never had experienced it before. And it was a supernatural joy It came despite the circumstances because God was at work in mine and Stacy's life. You see, God calls us to obedience. And as we walk out that obedience, the result is a supernatural joy that cannot be explained. When my wife asked me that question, there was this smile on my face. No, I wouldn't leave. And I can't describe why, because I loved youth ministry and I hated the crud I just went through. But we came out on the other side and God is doing something. And that is a joy that I can't explain. Other than the fact that maybe God is good all the time, right? And all the time, God is good. Dwight L. Moody said it this way. He said, "Happiness is caused by things that happen around me, and circumstances will mar it. But joy flows right on through the trouble. Joy flows on through the dark. Joy flows in the night as well as in the day. Joy flows all through persecution and opposition. It is an unceasing fountain bubbling up in the heart, a secret spring the world can't see and doesn't know anything about. The Lord gives His people perpetual joy when we walk in obedience to Him." Couldn't say it better myself. You see, joy is a byproduct of obedience. And it's also the byproduct of successfully facing the challenges that God's call will sometimes bring. Because when Jesus says, "Follow me," more often than not, it means get ready for some challenges, right? Get ready for some challenges. But as we push through the challenges and follow Him and draw upon His strength, it's then that we can experience His joy through the power of the Holy Spirit alive in us. A joy deeper than any joy the things of this world can bring us. The kind of joy that enables us to face the challenges of life and come out on the other side better for it. Amen? We learn here that joy is a gift from God, that it's often surrounded by challenges that are overcome through obedience. And then finally, we learn that joy is something we're supposed to share. Number three, it's something we're supposed to share. I think it's interesting here that God chose two women who were related. As I mentioned earlier, Mary most likely went to Elizabeth for some support. And so they could share their experience, right? It's always nicer when you have someone you can share that experience with. I know when I went through those times, I would call my pastor, right, and my pastor friends who had been through those same times, and to be able to talk with them and to be encouraged by them, to have that support. And so Mary went to Elizabeth so that they could share their experiences and walk through this journey together, which meant that neither of them had to be alone through this unusual circumstance. This connection brought both of them joy. That relationship. That's why I talked about relationship, right? We're created for that. It brings joy. There is a joy we experience when we know that we're not alone. A deep-seated joy that comes from friendships and relationships with others around us. Like I said, I've said time and time again, we were created for relationship with others. And there is a joy in knowing that we are a part of something bigger, right? That's the key, realizing that we are a part of something bigger. These births were not about Mary or Elizabeth, right? They played a role, but it wasn't about Mary or Elizabeth. They were about God doing what He wanted to do to establish His kingdom. And neither Mary nor Elizabeth could contain the joy they felt in being part of this, of seeing God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Both of them had this desire to share it with others. They shared it with one another, and ultimately they would share it with the world. And I think the same is true of us, that the joy God gives us is a joy that we're called to share with those around us. We're not supposed to keep it or contain it, right? Remember that old song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm gonna let it shine," right? This little light. And you remember the old, "Hide it under a bushel"? No! I'm going to let it shine, right? We don't want to contain it, right? We want to let it go. We want to let that light shine. It's something that God desires for us, that we are called to share it with others. And the cool thing is sharing joy is a lot different than sharing French fries. Okay? Now, some of you are looking at me a little weird here, but track with me for a moment, okay? On this idea between sharing French fries and sharing joy, right? A lot of times, as a family, we share French fries to save money, right? But here's the thing. When you share French fries, or any kind of food for that matter, instead of getting a whole order of fries, what do you get? You get a half an order of fries, right? If you're lucky, you know, if you're not sure, if you're sharing with someone besides me, because I'm always trying to get a little more than half, because I like to eat the fries. No one in my family wants to share fries with me. Maybe that's why we start separating the fries ahead of time now, right? Instead of just, here, you eat some and I'll eat some and it'll even out, right? And I'm like eating three or four at a time and they're just eating one. So now we separate them ahead of time. But when you share fries, you only get a portion of the fries, whether that's half or three-quarter, or whoever's the hog in that whole thing. But the thing is, sharing joy doesn't just give us half the joy, right? It's not like, oh, well, okay, now we each have half the joy. No, when we share joy, our joy actually increases the more we share it, the more we give it away. Oftentimes, joy, it's contagious and continues to grow as we share it with others. And so the question is, are we sharing the joy that God has given us? Are we allowing it to multiply through us to others? Christmas is a reminder of the gift of joy that was given through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just His presence caused little John the Baptist inside the belly, right, to leap for joy in his mother's womb. When was the last time we leaped for joy? When was the last time we had news so wonderful, so incredible, that we couldn't contain the joy that we felt? Where we just had to let it out. We had to let someone know, right? Is there a joy inside of us that's waiting to break out? I really wish I could show you a video clip this morning. But the thing is I don't think it'd be appropriate for church. There's just a few little lines and there are little things that probably wouldn't be good to show in a church setting. And that's because it's an old Saturday Night Live skit from like 10 to 15 years ago. The main character in this skit is an actor by the name of Kristen Wiig. You may know her. She's a hilarious comedic actress. But the premise of this skit is that this grandfather, who happens to be Christopher Walken, okay, in the skit, is planning a surprise party for his granddaughter. And so when he tells this small group of family and friends that he's planning the surprise party, Kristen Wiig's character begins to kind of freak out. Like, she's like, oh, surprise, surprise, oh my goodness. And she doesn't say goodness, that's part of one of the reasons I wouldn't do it, you know. But she's like, oh, surprise, surprise. Oh. And you know, like, she's just excited. She loves surprise parties, right? And so throughout the conversation, you realize, you know, that she's just excited that there's going to be a surprise party. And then the granddaughter walks in the room, okay? And she asks, hey, Grandpa, what's going on, right? And as the camera pans around the room, you know, all the other people are giving response like, oh, nothing, you know. We're just hanging out. We're just talking. And then it comes to Kristen Wiig's face. And she's like, and she's like freaking out. And then she's kind of like, surprise, no, tomorrow, birthday, no. And so there's just this crazy moment, and she's hilariously funny how she does it. And she realizes, and everyone's like looking at her like, no, don't say anything, don't say anything. It's like, oh, surprise, who, no, what, huh? And she freaks out, she knows she's about to say, we're having a surprise party for you tomorrow. So she grabs a vase on the table, cracks it over her head, and knocks herself out. Because she's just so excited, and she knows that she can't contain herself, and she's going to tell this granddaughter that there's a surprise party. And it's a ridiculous skit, but it's funny if you watch it. And the thing is the reality is if we have a secret inside of us, we shouldn't contain it. We should actually be like that character. Like, oh, I got a surprise. I got something to tell you. Did you know that Jesus Christ came? He died for you. He loves you. I mean, this containment, if we have a secret like that inside of us, it really shouldn't be contained. We should be walking around with this joy, this countenance of joy around us because of what Christ has done for us. We have a gift of joy that comes from the Lord and what He's done in our lives. And we should be sharing that joy with others because it has the power to change lives forever. Like the angel said in Luke 2, I bring you good news, right, of great joy for all the people, for everyone. Good news of great joy. That's what this season is all about. That's why little John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Does the good news of Jesus Christ still bring great joy? Does the Holy Spirit, do we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with that joy? Have we, like Mary and Elizabeth, made ourselves available for God's joy in our life? Through a devotion to the Lord and obedience to Him. You know, their joy came from being used by God. Are we allowing God to use us? Are we willing to face the challenges that a life with God will bring if it means experiencing His joy, the kind of joy that only God can bring to our lives? I hope that we are experiencing the joy of the Lord this Christmas season. And I hope that our joy isn't limited to what we find in our stockings or underneath the Christmas tree, right? Because a lot of the world, their joy is found in what they get from Christmas. I hope for us that it's a supernatural joy that comes from the Lord and what He did for us, and that our hearts and lives are changed by it forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this season of Christmas, Lord, where we get to celebrate You. We get to celebrate what You did for us. The fact that, Lord, You stepped out of heaven and that You came to this earth as Emmanuel, God with us, so that You could bring joy into this world, joy into our lives. In the midst of a fallen, broken world, we can experience a supernatural joy because of what You do in and through us, Lord. And we want to be people who tap into that joy, Lord, who allow Your Holy Spirit to move in our lives in a way that gives us joy, even in the midst of challenges, even in the midst of following You and the challenges that may bring at times in our life, that we can experience a joy that goes beyond the challenges, Lord, that helps us to shine bright for You, to experience this joy that changes our lives forever. And Lord, may we be people who don't just keep that joy to ourselves, but that we share that joy with others. Lord, it's a gift that You have given to us, and now we get to freely give it to others as we share the truth of who You are. And so, Lord, we thank You for this Christmas season. We thank You for the lessons that we can learn from the Christmas story, from people who were involved, like Elizabeth and Mary, and even little John the Baptist, Lord, the leaping for joy that we see here. It's supernatural, Lord. We want that supernatural joy in our lives. And so, Lord, we give you this morning, we give you this word. May you allow it to speak to us where we're at. May we be full of your joy this Christmas season. May we let that joy spring out of us in a way that others are blessed because of it. We give you these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.